Microsoft reported its fiscal 22 Q2 earnings last night, and bottom and top line came in better than expected. So they beat expected revenue. Their revenue was $51.7 billion, up 20%. Analysts were expecting $50.8 billion. I'm going to dive into how they got to that number, where Microsoft is focusing, and if you're an enterprise customer, what should you expect from Microsoft? Now, not to spoil anything, but a lot of the things I'm going to cover, a lot of things I'm going to say are going to sound familiar because that is the case. The things that they're going to be executing to are things that they've been executing to. So what that should tell you is, one, they haven't gotten to where they want to be yet. And so if you haven't moved down their path yet to get to where they need to be from a revenue perspective, that creates an opportunity for you, i.e. leverage in your discussions, in your renewal negotiations, which many of you have coming up in June, Microsoft's year end. So let's dive in. Probably the most important piece, the Microsoft Cloud revenue, which is Azure, Office 365, LinkedIn, Dynamics, $22.1 billion, up 32%, okay? And the margin on that is 70%, and that, again, came in ahead of their own expectations. Now, if you think about each piece to that puzzle, let's go into those business segments, and I'll dive into the cloud components of that. So productivity and business processes, $15.9 billion, up 19%. And they noted that was driven by Office 365 and LinkedIn. So Office 365 commercial revenue, up 19%, which was driven by commercial seat growth of 16%, growth and revenue per user, and install base expansion. So a lot of things there, right? So they're growing the user base from their customers. They are increasing the average cost per user, the revenue per user. So that is price increases at renewal as a way to do that. That is moving customers from Office 365 E3 to E5, for moving customers from Office 365 into the bundle, Microsoft 365, right? There's increases in cost profiles associated with those. And we're gonna get to E5 in a minute, but let's keep moving in on the different components of productivity and business processes. So you also have LinkedIn. So LinkedIn revenue was up 37%. Now, interestingly, it was up 42% last quarter. Marketing solutions grew 43%. And Satya made it a point to mention that growth in LinkedIn sales solutions has now become a $1 billion business. It has $1 billion in revenue over the past 12 months. Dynamics 365 revenue was up 45%. Now, it was up 48% last quarter. And the key point here is Satya made a mention of this, which is that across all the D365 solutions, they're continuing to take share. Okay, so that's really important. So if you think about Dynamics 365, you think about that space that competes against the SAPs, the Oracles, the Salesforces of the world. And this is an area where Microsoft has clearly made it a focus to grab market share, to take business from their large competitors, which we are seeing. The other area before I move on to Intelligent Cloud is Power Apps. Power Apps revenue grew 161%. Many customers are putting focus on this, dollars into this, adopting, rolling out. There's a flywheel effect associated with this product solution. But 161% is obviously very noteworthy. Intelligent Cloud, $18.3 billion, up 26%. When you think Intelligent Cloud, at least in this enterprise space that we cover, Azure and other cloud services is where you want to pay attention. Growth of 46%, revenue growth of 46%. Now, it was 50% last quarter. In fact, it was 50% for the last four quarters, so it's dipped below that. But it did still at least meet analyst expectations. Lastly, there's the more business personal computing business unit, $17.5 billion, up 15%. The thing I'll talk about here is Windows. So Windows, commercial products, and cloud services up 13%. The key here is that a lot of that growth is being driven by adoption, demand, moving into Microsoft 365. Because the Microsoft 365 bundle has Office 365, Windows, and enterprise mobility and security. Now, let's dive in a little bit further here, right? So what are the things that Satya and Amy Hood covered, talked about, things that stood out that enterprise customers need to pay attention to? Okay, so the first one is, let's talk Teams, right? So Teams, obviously their collaboration, obviously had a big spike. It's a competitive space, thinking Google, Zoom, WebEx, so forth and so on. Obviously there was rapid accelerated use during COVID, as schools and offices and the world had to move to a space of being able to work from home. Satya said that it's rapidly becoming the standard for unified communications, right? So Teams is over 90% of the Fortune 500. They're using Teams phone in the prior quarter. And this is the thing. He made it a point, just like he did with Dynamics 365, we will continue to take share across PSTN and VoIP. Okay, so again, this is an area where Satya is putting a marker down, and clearly we're seeing this, that they want to continue to grab market share. They want to be the platform for the ever-important connected enterprise, the ever-important unified communication platform. Now, Microsoft 365, right? It really comes down to this if you're an enterprise customer. Now, many of you have always already moved to the bundle, right? So you've gone from Office 365, you've moved into the bundle. You've made that jump, if you will. Now, some have not done a full rollout yet for their first-line workers, right? Your deskless workers. Many have. But Satya made a point to mention that first-line worker usage, specifically around Teams, is up 2x year over year. So it's doubled. That's really important. So that's a lower cost profile, right? So that average revenue per user maybe doesn't get impacted the way that they want, but they're expanding use. They're expanding use. They're creating a larger connected both corporate first line worker environment, also allows them to keep out something like Google when they're trying to get their workspace solution in there, formerly G Suite. Now, with Microsoft 365, ultimately, a lot of customers have also already moved to Microsoft 365 E3. So the goal is to push organizations to E5. So Satya said that innovation is driving growth across Microsoft 365, right? So innovation is what's moving people there. But the choice to move to the premium E5 is going to tie around advanced security, compliance, voice, and analytics. Satya mentioned all those. And then Amy Hood doubled down on it during the earnings call and said demand for advanced security, compliance, and voice offerings, those sound pretty familiar, sound like a talking point there, drove continued momentum in E5 revenue. In fact, when Amy Hood was talking about guidance, talking about Q3, she made a point to say for Q3, we expect healthy revenue growth driven by the same factors as Q2 and continued momentum in E5, right? So continued momentum in E5. Now, he listed some companies that moved to E5. Certainly, that's we're seeing that right now as well. It's clearly a thing that both Satya, Amy Hood, Microsoft salespeople are clearly laser focused on. I'll also remind you that in March 2022, so not that long from now, there will be price increases across many of these Microsoft 365 or Office 365 solutions. This was announced late last year, kind of flown under the radar. But what I will tell you is Microsoft 365 E3, that's going up 13%. The list price of Microsoft 365 E3 is going up 13%. So they're not touching E5 pricing. They're telling you that's where they need to go. There's going to be momentum. It's going to help drive revenue. They talk about their security, their voice, their analytics, compliance portions of E5, the premium part, going to move you there. They have to move you there. It's very clear. They need to continue to show movement to E5. It's going to help drive that average revenue per user profile. It's going to help drive overall cloud revenue, which is critically important to them as they report and compete in the market. But here's the thing. How well are they doing, right? So they've named some customers during this earnings call. We're certainly seeing adoption of E5. Last, at the end of fiscal 2021, Q4, Amy Hood stated that 8% are on E5 currently. 8% of the 300 million commercial Office 365 users are on E5. She said that back in July. It's been 2 quarters now, and she's yet to report an adjusted number. So have they grown to 12%? Have they grown to 15%? Where are they at? Be very interested to see when the next time they're going to say that is. So, again, a lot of same themes, quarter over quarter, strong growth, beating expectations, focused on adoption of Microsoft 365, and focused on moving people to E5. Focused on grabbing market share from Dynamics 365, continuing to lock in and drive revenue and have successes around LinkedIn, Power Apps, growth. These are all common themes. So as you think about your renewal, as you think about what your current portfolio is and where you're growing and going to, think about these are what do you have to give that you know matters most to Microsoft. Before I end here, I do want to call out one interesting quote that I think all customers should keep, write down, and present back to Microsoft when Microsoft is challenging or your sales rep is challenging you or being reluctant to give more or pushing for what they want and not listening. Amy Hood said, "We are really focused on getting the right deal done that matches the customer goals." That matches the customer goals. So as they push products, as they hit you with increases on certain products, unless you perhaps go to E5, when they present proposals that make the only real option that has compelling or concessions tied to it are ones that are driving what they want from you, perhaps ahead of your needs, wants, i.e. goals. I think it's important to put that quote out there and ask for them to see how that maps to what they're trying to do to you specifically.